Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again and looking at chapter 9, verse 42 through to 50. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your Word, which is rich and true. We do ask that you would press it into our hearts that we might know the truth. We acknowledge, Lord, that very often we are deluded and we have wrong thoughts. And so we pray that now as we consider your word that you would give us right thoughts, thoughts after your own ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. We tend to have a very low view of sin. And what I mean by that is we don't tend to view sin as problematic as we ought to, especially if it comes to falling into sin or leading other people into sin, being a temptation to people. And it's interesting as you reflect upon the Reformation and what the Catholic Church said in response to that. You see, the Catholic Church, one of their major concerns was that if you tell people that their salvation is assured, if you stress grace, then people will just live how they want. And now that's an interesting response because that's exactly the challenge people gave to the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Now the response to the Reformers, the response by the Reformers to the Catholic Church was that grace sets us free to obey and to seek godliness. However, we now live in a time where the Catholic Church might be tempted to look at the practice within some of our churches and say, aha, we told you so. You see, it's interesting that the Reformers held on to the free gift of the gospel by God's grace, believed in by faith, and yet continued to hold forth the reality, danger, deadliness of sin. Something which many churches in the evangelical world today fail to do. They stress the gospel. They stress free grace, mercy, God's kindness. But they don't talk much about sin. However, Jesus did. Jesus, of course, had a perfect understanding of sin. And we see it here. Jesus held it very seriously. Jesus points back to the little children. We know that when he begins with this little word, whoever. That the same word occurs back in verse 37. Whoever receives one such child. So Jesus now refers the disciples back to the little child. It says, whoever receives one of them, he said back then. Now he says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or stumble, or scandalize, whoever scandalizes them, it would be better for them to chuck themselves into an ocean with a large rock around their neck. Why? Because God hates sin. God hates sin. And so if you, by your action, cause one of these little children who believes in Christ to sin, you are causing a child to do something that God hates. And it's needless to say that it's a very unwise thing to do. And then Jesus takes that and then drives it personally. Not just in relationship to other people, not leading other people into sin, but in relation to ourselves. We must be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to be led into sin. And he picks up three different body parts to illustrate this, doesn't he? He says, if your hand causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to sin, if your eye causes you to sin, remove it rather than letting it lead you into sin and going to hell. Now, what's Jesus saying here? Well, I think you can understand those three body parts as representing three different types of things. Your hand represents your actions, what you do. It's better to stop doing actions, certain particular actions, than to carry on doing them and go to hell. You can think of your foot like a pattern of life, a way of walking. Better to give up a pattern of life and a lifestyle than to pursue it and go to hell in your sin. And you can think of your eye as what you receive. Better to cast away that thing that you're looking at, that teaching that you're receiving, than it is to embrace it and go to hell. Do you see what Jesus is driving at? What Jesus is driving at is that ultimately sin leads to death. Now, we all understand, Lord willing, we all understand that we are not saved by works. You are not saved by your ability to cut off your hand, cut off your foot, rip out your eye. You're not saved by your ability to change your actions, change your lifestyle, or change what you're receiving. However, giving yourself over to sin is to pursue death. You see, we must be very careful that we don't commit the error of presumption. Presumption. What I mean by that is the error of believing that because I'm saved by grace, I can presume upon the kindness and grace of God and live how I want. That it doesn't really matter how I live and what path I walk on and what I receive. You see, the problem of presuming like that is that you run the risk of never having really believed in Christ, because those who believe in Christ repent and believe. They put away the deeds of the flesh. They put away sin. And they pursue righteousness. If you pursue sin, what you're actually doing is, by your life and by your fruit, is showing that there's something wrong with your heart. It's not that we have to live perfectly to be saved. By no means. But it's that by the pattern of our life and by the actions we choose and by the teaching we receive and the information we put in, all of those things are evidences of what we love. And those who love the Lord pursue the Lord. Those who love the Lord act like the Lord. Those who love the Lord walk in the paths of the Lord. Those who love the Lord want to look upon the Lord. And so we must be very, very careful that we don't lead others into sin, but also that we guard ourselves against sin. It's a lifelong battle. However, one day that battle will be over. Because if we tear out our eye, and as Jesus says, and rip off our hand and foot, we can enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because we pursue Christ rather than the things of the flesh. And the Spirit works inside of us to bring that to fruition. So let us labor with all of our might to put sin to death and to pursue godliness for ourselves and for others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We do pray that you'd help us to have eyes to see and hearts to practice what this passage says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much. I'll see you again tomorrow.